Rasko came up from heaven and approved of the takana. And the Gemara quotes the psukim, the basko, Master said, Chochem b'ni, alkan yismach li bigamoni. The Bezun Shlamayla is very happy with the takana that Shlomo HaMelech made. So what's the story? If you have a city and you make an erev around the city, so Minatora de Tzuris HaPesach makes the whole big cities one big Rishus HaYochid. Minatora you're allowed to carry. Let's say you have an apartment building and you have 100 apartments there. So Minatora, the whole thing is a Rishus HaYochid. Minatora does make a difference who lives there. The Rabbanan, it makes a difference. So let's say you have an apartment building, 100 apartments, and all the Jews are away for the summer. There's nobody there on Shabbos. And they're all Shem Shabbos, and they're not going to come back in the middle of Shabbos. So then nobody asks. If I'm the only one there, no other Jew, all the others are goyim. So it's only one Jew, so you don't even need an erev. The Gemara has this Mishnah that's Gimel Diras Akum Kediras Behema. Just like if a Behema lives there, it does Nasser, a very harsh expression. Diras Akum Kediras Behema. Why did the rabbis invent? Where they called the Tikkun Rabban came, they asked the Tikkun. Where did they come to invent such a concept that the guy who lives here doesn't count? Is it probably based on Adin Deraisa? Adin is Ayoras Amakov Yitzchayim and Milois Hushu Benun have a special status. So the Gemara said the special status only applies if Hukav Lebesoif Yashav. First they built the wall around the city and then the people moved into the city. So the Rani asks on the first daf in Megillah, the Gemara Megillah quotes it in the context of the Dinim Amikra Megillah and Tezvav by Ayoras Hamakaf Eschaim. So the Rani asks, so when Yeshua ben Nun moved into Eretz Yisrael, how did he know which cities were Hukaf Lebesof Yashav? He's going to rely on the history books that every city had, that they built the wall before they moved in. But Noik Shabbailam, people build houses and then they build a big city. After they have enough people, then they put together money and they build a wall around it. Why should anybody have hookah for the Besef Yashav? So the Ran says he thinks the answer is Adiras Akum Kadiras Behema. So the fact that Goyim lived there before they built the wall doesn't count. So every single city that was Mukav Chayim was Yushum Noam was always hookah for the Besef Yashav. The wall was there, then the Jews moved in. The Jews moved in. Adiras Akum doesn't count at all. So the Ran doesn't finish the last sentence. Maybe it's based on that Din Deraisa that the Chachamim and Erevin came up with this idea. So they say, strictly speaking, if you have a building and you have Jews and non-Jews live in the building, the non-Jews should nasa. This Takonah Shlomo HaMelech, that the different people live in the different apartments, they ask them on each other. Non-Jews should nasa because Diras Akum Kediras Behema. But the rabbis wanted to discourage Jews from living in integrated neighborhoods. Not a smart idea. You're going to live together with the non-Jews, you're going to pick up from their style of living, and we're supposed to live differently and die differently and be buried differently. Everything is different, so they wanted to discourage us. So they said, the goy asses, and you have to rent from the goy. The guy's going to think there's some kind of voodoo magic going on over here. What does he have to rent? So he said, no, I just want to rent for religious purposes. What are you renting? You rent the guy's apartment. What do you rent? So he may not want to rent it to you. And Rashi writes, and every week you're going to say you want to rent it from him. So this will discourage the Jew from living in the neighborhood because the guy is probably going to give him a hard time. He doesn't want to rent. Rashi sounds as if you have to rent every week. So the Rosh comments on that Rashi. Some used to be machmal like that. I think Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik said he was machmal like the simple reading of Rashi. Whenever you have a building and you have a goy, you have to rent from the goy every week. The Rosh says that Rashi never meant it, and that's what we assume in Shulchan Aruch. You have to rent from the goy every week. So the din is that midrabbanan, the goy asses, but only provided that at least there are two Jewish tenants in the building, two Jewish families, so then you have to rent from the goy. I remember my grandmother used to live in an apartment building. She was the only Jewish person there, the only Jewish family. All the other tenants were non-Jews. So the Mishnah says in Erevin, if it's only one Jewish family, that's a milsa de lo shchicha, because the nochemach hashudim al shvichas domim, and a Jewish person would be afraid to live there. So milsa de lo shchicha le goz b'rabban, so then you don't have to rent for the nochem. The only time you have to rent for the Nochem is if there are at least two Jewish families, their two apartments are dwelled in. a Jewish family, so each one is not nervous about living there. Each one will protect the other one. If anything happens, they'll call the police. So then, that's a milsa d'shchicha, that a Jew will live in such a building. So to discourage Jews from living in such a building together with non-Jews, so they said, you have to rent for the nochi. So the Gemara says, a lot of times the nochi will not want to rent for you, because he's afraid, dilmukshofim who wants to leave. What kind of strange thing is this? He wants to rent my apartment for religious purposes. So the Gemara has, there was one nochri, his name was Lachman Bar Ristik. They used to call him Haman Bar Ristik. They used to call him Haman, because he didn't want to rent to the Jews. So the Gemara says he can go to his wife, even if he has a hang-up, he doesn't want to rent to the Jews. His apartment is written in his name. He owns the apartment. His wife doesn't own him. He can go to his wife and rent from her. Or if he has a sleep-in maid or a sleep-in butler, who uses the whole apartment also, they use the whole apartment to clean up, to wash the dishes and to do the laundry in there, go into all to make the beds, to change the linens and everything. So that's Schira Lakito. So then you can rent from the Schira Lakito. In the Gemara itself, it would appear that the Stipler points out in his Sefer on Erevin, and Sima Yud Zayin, Kilos Yankiv, if in the Gemara it would appear that Schira Lakita works in one of two ways, Lohakel, either this way or that way. It works, we treat the sleeping maid, a butler, as if he had been appointed as a shliach by the Nochri to rent the apartment on his behalf. The din is ein shlichas lenochri. A Nochri cannot appoint a shliach. One of the Achranim says, ein shlichas lenochri, a Jew can't appoint a non-Jew as a shliach, a non-Jew can't appoint a Jew, but a non-Jew can appoint a non-Jew. Magen Avraham quotes that in Hilchas Mechiras. In Hilchas Pesach, when he talks about Mechiras Chametz, I want to sell the Chametz to the Goy. So the Goy has no time, so he sent one of his workers. The Goy sent the Shliach to buy the Chametz from the Jew. So the Shliach is not going to buy the Chametz for himself, he's going to function as the Shliach of the Goy to buy the Chametz for the Goy. So the Magen Avraham quotes an opinion that Shuluch HaShalorim Kemoisai, the Shliach is considered as if he's the Mishaleach, only if they're both Jewish or both non-Jewish. One is a Jew, one is non-Jew. Then it doesn't work. It could be that it's true. So then the Gemara is not such a pella. But even if you should assume not like that, Magen Avraham, the way he quotes from the Achronim, that a non-Jew can appoint another non-Jew as a shliach, here they made a lot of kulas. So they said the sleeping maid, a butler, the nochri, even if it's a nochri, and the owner of the apartment is a nochri, we consider it as if they function on behalf of the owner of the apartment to rent the apartment not for religious purposes. So they can function as the shliach. Yeah. If that's how it works, that's how it works. So then, let's say this non-Jew lives in the apartment for another year. So I rented from the sleeping maid a butler, so it's only good till the end of the year. When the non-Jew moves out, so what do you mean? He can't rent his apartment for longer than he's going to be there. So the Gemara is muchach, that it has another kula. We consider this Schira Lakito as if he's the bailam of the apartment, since he sleeps there also, as if he's the bailam of the apartment. So what does it help? So we are makel not only Schira Lakito, sleeping maid, a butler. Let's say the super has the keys to everybody's apartment. That's not Schira Lakito. He only has the right to come in if there's a flood or if there's something wrong going on. He has no right to walk around the whole apartment just because he has the keys. But we consider the super, let's say the super cleans all the floors and the lobby and the hallways and everything and the front lobby, the backyard and everything. So you can consider the super as Schira Lakita of all of the tenants with respect to the hallways. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote a Chiddush. It doesn't say in the Gemara, this the Rishayim added this on to the Gemara. They assume that it's not such an earth-shattering Chiddush. When you rent for the Nochri, the Poshim Shat in the Gemara, let's say you have an apartment building with 100 tenants, 99 are Shomer Shabbos, we're going to make an Erev, the 99 together, and one is a Nochri. The then is you have to rent for the Nochri. So we rent the Goy's apartment. The simple reading of the Gemara, we're renting the Goy's apartment. The Gemara has a machlokes, when you rent the Goy's apartment, does it have to be a rental in Didi Mominus, that you now have the right to put the packages there? Does it have to be schiris bria, a real gesunte rental? You have a right to use it. Even schiris ruua, a schwache, a poor schiris rental is also good. I say, I want to rent your apartment for religious purposes. So the Gemara comes to the maskana, that's also acceptable. Schiris ruua is good. The whole thing is only a chumra, because kadesh aliyumud be meisel, because really diras hakim kadiras beimah, the goy should naser, even after the takana shlamim al should naser. The whole thing is, we want to discourage the Jews from living in the same building, in the same neighborhood with the non-Jews. So that's why we're mekel. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rishon, not only are you mekel, you can rent Schiris Ru'ua, the Goy's apartment. They say, I don't rent the Goy's apartment. I just rent the hallways. I rent all the hallways in the lobby in the building. And it's considered as if the Goyim who use the hallways are using my hallways. I rent the hallways for religious purposes. So that's also acceptable. If you really rent the Goy's apartment, and I say the Goy is considered as if he's a guest in my apartment, I'm only renting for religious purposes, if I can explain that to the Goy. So then after you make the Erev with the Jews, you can carry from anybody's apartment into the hallways and into the Goy's apartment as well, because the Goy is considered, after he rents the apartment to me, he's living in my apartment. But if you don't have a sleeping maid or butler, you're not renting from the Goy, you just rent from the super. Super only has access to the hallways in the building, in the lobby. So then Shulchan Aruch said, that's okay. You rented the hallways, the Goy is using the hallways that belong to me. So now you can carry, once you make the Erev HaChatzer, is carry from the Jews' apartments to the hallways, but you can't carry into the Goy's apartment, because we never rented the Goy's apartment. We only rented the hallways from the Goy. So Shulchan Aruch says that that's acceptable. So let's say I have 100 tenants in the building, 50 tenants are Jewish, 50 tenants are non-Jewish. So we rent from the super. And some of the 50 tenants move out in the middle of the year, and new tenants move in. So if you treat the super as Schira Lakita vis-a-vis the hallways, not Schira Lakita vis-a-vis the apartment, if you treat him as Schira Lakita vis-a-vis the hallways, and the tenant moves out, so the tenant has a right to appoint a shliach. We can treat the Schira Lakita as a shliach until the tenant, he only rents in the apartment. He doesn't own the apartment. So after he moves out, so the fact that I rented from his shliach doesn't help. But the super is there for another 10 years. The super is not leaving so fast. If I have the right to go to Hakel in either direction, that's what the stipula points out from the Gemara. I have a right to go to Hakel in either direction, either to treat the renting from the super or the Moshel Ha'ir. In Europe, when they made an Erev, so they would rent from the chief of police or the mayor of the city, as if he's Schira Lakito. So what way is he Schira Lakito? So years ago, the Moshel Ha'ir, the mayor of the city, had the right to station, or the chief of police had the right, the king had the right to station soldiers in my house. That was Din al-Machus, he had the right to stay. The Chacham Tzvi used to live in Vilna, and then he ran away with the Shach. They all lived at the same time. Chalkas Machoikek, all the Goyim, they lived in Vilna at the same time, 1660s, had to run away because of the Chamonitsky riots. So the Shach ran to a different place in Poland, still under the Polish. The Chacham Tzvi ran to England and to the West. So he was confronted with democracy. They never heard of democracy before. So the king can't place soldiers, he can't put soldiers in your apartment anymore. So the Chacham Tzvi says that kills every Erev, because you always have to rent for the Moshel Ha'ir as being considered Schira Lakito of all of the citizens in the city. Why is he Schira Lakito? He's not a sleeping maid, a butler in my apartment, because he has the right to station soldiers. So he says he doesn't have the right to station soldiers. The chief of police only has the right to enter my house if he has a search warrant, if there's a concern. If there's no concern, not. So if the king would have the right to declare war whenever he wants, when there's a war, he has the right to station troops in my house. Fine, but he says in a democracy, he has no right to declare war without the authorization of the Congress either. So he said, that's the end of all Eruv. You can never make an Erev in the city. You can make an Erev in an apartment building, but you can't make an Erev in a city, apartment building, because the super is Schira Lakita vis-a-vis the hallways. But you can't make, they didn't have apartment building. But you can't make an Erev in a city anymore. Where are you going to go? Rent from every single guy from his house. So to rent from the Moshel Ha'ir doesn't apply. We are still Mekel on that. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says, no, we are Mekel against the Chacham Tzvi because we are the ones who appointed the mayor. We elected him. And the mayor appoints the chief of police. So these are really indirectly, we appointed the chief of police. So all of the goyim appointed him. So in a certain sense, he's chiril, that's Rav Moshe is meikel. Everybody's meikel. That's what the Satmar Rebbe used to say. Satmar! The Moshe Lhoir was the balabos. He can do whatever he wants. In America, what is there's no Moshe Lhoir, like the argument that Chacham Tzvi said. It's a democracy. So there is no, and they got used to it. So the Satmar also have, they also make it. Everybody relies on that. So let's say I rent from the super as representing all the 50 Goyisha tenants, and then two of the Goyisha tenants move out this year, two of them move out next year. So if you would only treat the super as Chiru Lakito, Mitam Chiru Lakito as if he's a shliach of the tenant, so once the tenant moves out, I have to rent all over again for the new tenant. I have to rent from the super again as representing the new tenant. You can't say the super represents the new tenant who didn't move in yet. But once we say no, the Chiru Lakito works on two levels, lahakal each time. You treat the Schirul Akita as if he's the owner, as if the super is the balabas in the hallways. So Kolzman, you have the same super. But let's say, not only did some of the tenants move, some of the non-Jewish tenants move out, the super moved out also. My super died years ago from overdose of schnapps. He died from a liver ailment. He drank so much. So we had, there were tenants who moved out from the last time I made the Erev. Then the super gestorben. So then I had to rent for the new super. You got to rent quickly before the first Shabbos. You got to do something. So that's the story of the rent. So again.
Why don't you
say if the streets are
like the hallways? If the tourist of
Pesach makes the whole city like one Rosh Hashanah,
yeah. So why don't you say the
Moshel Ir
is controlled the streets? That's like having control of the hallways.
Yeah, they say in Shulchan Aruch like that. You can rent for the Moshel Ir the streets without renting the homes. If he has the right to balabatav, the chief of police can divert traffic. He has the right to do things in the streets. So he can do that. He would be able to do that. That is Gerer.
What about a front
yard in a suburban
neighborhood?
So the Moshe Lier has rights over the front yard? I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question.
Is the front yard
asr,
or is it only with a
dira
and
a nafe? That's correct. The only time they asr, just because Reuven owns the area, he does nasa only if he's there for Shabbos, if there's dira. If there's no dira, does nasa. So even a front yard with a fence around it also does not asa. That is correct. If there's a fence around it, it's a rishus hayach, it doesn't asa on anybody else. Only the mokam dira asa, that is correct. So it doesn't pose a problem in the first place. Right. We'll have to have some more details. We're going to work on the details. So what's the nature of this sisa? Once you have, let's say you have an apartment building, so on the level of the house, so the whole thing is one big rishus hayochid. Shlomo HaMelech made a takana, you're not allowed to carry. What exactly was the nature of the takana? You have batim and chatzeres and mavuas, so what was the chumra? So there's a fundamental machloikas between Rashi and the Rambam. The one who points it out first is the Tosfos Yontif, HaMishnah Yisrael, and then a few centuries later, the Avni Nezer has a tshuva, he rediscovered America, he also points out. And then the Mishnah Brura points it out, that is a fundamental machlokes Rashi in the Rambam, that runs as follows. You say the hallways of Rishus HaYochid and the apartments of Rishus HaYochid, but you're not allowed to carry from one Rishus HaYochid to the other Rishus HaYochid. But let's say you have in the lobby of my building, we have sofas where people can sit. I said last time that boys used to come on dates to take their dates to the building. Now the building is sogeris from sogeris. It's locked. Nobody can get in unless you have a key, unless you're buzzed in. But if you have sofas, so let's say there's kelim sheshavs v'chotzer. There's something. There are chairs in the lobby. So the lobby is a rishus hayachid. So the Gemara says, let's say the building would not have an eruv. Happens that my building does have an eruv. Let's say the building wouldn't have an eruv. The Gemara says, that's okay. Kelim sheshavs v'chotzer, the table, there are tables and there are chairs, the tables and chairs in the lobby, muta v'talta v'chotzer, even if there's no eruv. You're not allowed to carry it from the lobby to the apartments, or from the apartments to the lobby, but you're allowed to carry in the lobby, because that's one big rishus hayochid. So why are you not allowed to carry from the apartment into the lobby, from the lobby into the apartment? So the pshat is, That was Shlomo HaMelech invented a new din that never existed before. Not like carry from one Rishus Hayachid to the other. On the level of the rice, no such thing as a Rishus Hayachid with a subcategory. Rishus Hayachid sub one, Rishus Hayachid sub two. Rishus Hayachid is a Rishus Hayachid, is a Rishus Hayachid. It's all the same thing, whoever lives there. But Shlomo HaMelech came up with this chiddush. If Reuben's family lives here, Shimon's family lives here, it's a different kind of Rishus Hayachid, you're not allowed to carry. And other Rishayim hold, but whatever Kem Shavsa B'chatz Mutta. So let's say it's in the winter time and it's freezing outside, snowing, whatever, and I'm wearing two sweaters and a jacket and a heavy coat, and I'm walking in the street. Then I come into a building where there's no Erev, and I'm eating on the 10th floor, and I can't use the elevator. It's a malach, so I'm going to walk upstairs. I have to walk upstairs with all the sweaters and all of the coats and everything. So can I take off the sweaters and the coat, carry it in my hand, upstairs to the 10th floor. I'm in the lobby now. So, Kenem Sheshav Sebechatz Mutal Talta Bechatz, and I'm allowed to carry it up even though there's no air. Then, before I walk into the apartment, I'll put all the clothing back on again, so I won't be carrying it from the Chatzir into the apartment. So, that's a big machlek, is Rashi and the Ramam. That's Mutal Ras. So, here for the Rishonim hold that it is a Rishus Sayachid, so you're allowed to carry, even if you didn't make an Erev. The only thing you're not allowed to carry is from one Rishus Sayachid to the other. On the level of the rice, you're not allowed to carry from Rishus Sayachid to Rishus Sarabim, from Rishus Sarabim to Rishus Sayachid. Then with the Rabban, they said, you're not allowed to carry from a Carmelist to Rishus Sayachid, from a Carmelist to Rishus Sarabim. And here they made another din, you're not allowed to carry from Reuben's Rishus Sayachid to Shimon's Rishus Sayachid. Fine. But you're not allowed to carry from Reuben's Rishus Sayachid to Reuben Shimon's Rishus Sayachid. Everybody, Reuben and Shimon, use the lobby. But the carrying the lobby is muta. And other Rishonim, Rashi holds not so. Only Kelim Sheshasa B'chatzah, the tables and the chairs that were in the Chatzah when Shabbos began, from the perspective of just considering the lobby, forget about all the apartments, the Kelim were in the lobby. The lobby is the Rishon Sayachid. So you're allowed to carry it all you want. But if someone walked into the building wearing a coat that came Bachutz, so then I consider the lobby as sort of a Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because each apartment is only lived in by that one family. The lobby is used by several, two or more families. So I consider the lobby as if it were a Rishus HaRabim vis-a-vis the Rishus HaYochid. So then, only Kelim Sheshav Sebichotzer, the Kelim that were there in Erev Shabbos, Mutal Talta Bechotzer, but the Kelim that were brought in from outside, you wouldn't be allowed to carry in the lobby. You would have to wear all the begodim until you get up to the 10th floor and walk into the apartment you want to go. So the Mishnah Brura always recommends lahachmer. So the Mishnah Brura says you should be machmer. It is kelim shalosh haos b'chatz. He just quotes one kula. Let's say, when I was sitting in shul on Friday night, I'm visiting by someone on the 10th floor. When I was sitting in shul, I was wearing my hat and I was wearing the jacket and the sweater. I wasn't wearing the coat. So he says, whatever begodim you were wearing at Shabbos entered doesn't yet exist as a chepetz of hoitzor. Whatever begodim you wear is bottle lag of the body. There's no isur hoitzor in the begodim. So the coat that I wasn't wearing from the beginning of Shabbos, I wasn't wearing the coat. Then I put it on in the middle of Shabbos. After Meirav, I put on the coat. So then when I come into the building, so that's considered kelim that came mi bachutz. So I look at the whole picture and I declare the hallways as a Rishus HaRabim vis-a-vis the apartments that they're Rishus HaYochid. But the clothing that I was wearing all along, I never took off the sweater and the jacket yet, so that's not a Heftz of Hoitzor. That's like me. That's like my body. It's bottle lock with the body. So he has this kula from the Sefer Teferis Yerushalayim. I don't know who wrote Teferis Yerushalayim. He quotes such a kula. The begotten that you were wearing are bottle lock of the body. So this is a machlok, is the Ramam and the Rashi, and the Mishnah Berurah recommends one should be machmana. Yeah. Let's say you have an apartment building. My building has 6 floors. So in order to carry on the 6th, let's say, for argument's sake, we have 2 sides in the building, the right side, left side. Let's say on one of the 2 sides, the 6th floor, they're all Shamir Shabbos. Or they're all Nachrim except for one family. So the people who live on the 5th floor, on the lower floors, have no right to go upstairs to the 6th floor. Have no right to go to the roof. You're not supposed to go to the roof. They have no right to go to the 6th floor unless they're going to visit some of the people on the 6th floor. So they have no drisus haregel on the sixth floor. The people who live on the higher floors have a drisus haregel on all the lower floors. They have the right to go down the stairway in order to get to the outside of the building. So the people on the lower floors have no drisus haregel on the upper floors. So let's say if they're all Shomer Shabbos on one floor, they can make an Erev without having everybody else in the building participate. The drisus haregel is only from these people who live on that floor. Whoever has drisus haregel in this location, asses, and everybody has to participate in the erev. But let's say you make an erev in a city. So everybody in the city has drisus haregel, so everybody asses. But someone from Alaska can drive in. Let's say there's an erev in Muncie, there's an erev in Manhattan over here. Somebody from Alaska can drive his car in. He has a right to drive his car in. So I never rented from him. I rented from the Moshel Ha'ir the right of all of the people who live in their location. But whoever rented from the people who live in Alaska, what happened to their drisus haregel? So the Ritvot points out on the Gemara, and the Shari Tshuva next to the Behetav quotes it. And that's the halacha. It's Mefurish and the Gemara like that. The drisus haregel only asks if the... The drisus haregel only a person only asks if this is his beis dira. That's a fellow has two apartments. There's a family in Teaneck that have two homes. The whole family used to live in one home, and then they bought another home. So the parents moved to the other home, and all the single children live in this home. So they sleep over here and they always eat over there. So if the Gemara has like that, you have two homes, you have two apartments, a few blocks away from each other. So in one home they sleep and one home they eat. So the Gemara says only one to a customer. You only have one beis dira. Which is your beis dira? Makom pita, where the bread is, where you eat the food, and the makom lina, the place where you sleep. My nafkamina. So one nafkamina is, let's say, one of the apartments is in an apartment building. Do you aser? Is it called you have a beis dira there? Let's say I have an apartment. I'm away for the summer. I'm not there. And I'm Shomer Shabbos, I'm not going to come back in the middle of the day. If you have goyim who have an apartment and they're away for Shabbos, they can always drive back. If you have non-Shomer Shabbos, so if they went to New Zealand, they're not going to come back on Shabbos. If they're in New Jersey, they can drive back in the middle of Shabbos. So whenever there's the only times a goy or a Jew asks that you have to rent from him is if there's a beis dira there and he's there for Shabbos, and he may come for Shabbos. So what if he has one apartment where he sleeps and one apartment where he eats? So he only asks in one of them. There's only one to a customer. So which is the beis dira? So the Gemara has rules and regulations. If everything, the rule is, let's say one is kavu and one is aroi. Let's say, where do you bench licht? Mishnah Berurah said, where do you bench licht on Shabbat? Where do you bench Chanukah licht? The beis dira. Which is beis dira? So you only have one beis dira. So I live in 24 Bennett. Once in a while, somebody writes me, there's a bar mitzvah, there's a sheva brachas, whatever. Or I eat in the yeshiva. Then I go back home to eat. Then I go back home to go to sleep. So my home where I'm going to sleep is kavua. The place where I'm eating is aroi. So if one is kavua, one is aroi. So the kavua wins. That's called beis. What if they're both equally kavua, both equally aroi? I'm visiting just for Shabbos, and I'm eating over here, and I'm sleeping over here, and after Shabbos, I'm going home. So everything is aroi. What if they're both equally kavua, both equally aroi? So then the din is that the one that's more comfortable wins. The Gemara says that the yeshiva brachim used to have a dorm where they slept. And then they used to say flegnes and teg. They used to eat by balabatim. This balabas always had this boy over. This balabas had that boy over. So the balabatim in the days of the Gemara, in Europe it was also like that. They didn't treat the yeshiva guys nicely. So they gave their own children, got big portions of food, and the yeshiva guys got a half a portion. That like they treated them like stepchildren. So they didn't enjoy it. They didn't enjoy eating by the balabatim because they didn't treat it nicely. They went back to sleep in the dormitory, then they had a good time. So even though normally Mokam Achila beats out Mokam Shina, but if the Mokam Shina was more comfortable and Mokam Achila was a little uncomfortable, so one that's more comfortable and one that's more pleasant wins. Or let's say one is more private than the other. I'm visiting my family and they give me my own bedroom, I should sleep there. But then when I eat with the whole family. So the family lets me. I can use the den. I can go to the kitchen. If I want to make my own tea, have some cookies, whatever. I can use the svarim there. But the bedroom where I sleep is private. So the one that's more private wins. That's what Moshe Feinstein says. Where do you bench Chanukah Licht in the yeshiva? So he says, you don't bench in the Chadar Ochel. You bench in the private bedrooms, because the bedrooms are more private than the Chadar Ochel, because the bedrooms, you have two people, three people, six people. I remember I was once in a dorm in Brooklyn, in the yeshiva, in Miri Yeshiva, there were six people in a room. But the Chadar Ochel had a few hundred people eating over there. So, well, that's more private, it's called Beisim. So it's Negea to Hadlokas Neir Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah has all the rules in Hadlokas Neir Shabbos. Because Hadlokas Neir Shabbos has the same dinim as Hadlokas Neir Chanukah. He's supposed to light Neir Ishad Beisim. He's supposed to light Bebeisim. And everything, all the rules and regulations are based on the Sugyan Erevin and Dafayin Ches, Negea to Tchumen. If you have a city that has Alpidin, the status of a city, then the whole city is Kedal Aram's Dami. And everybody has the same Tchum Shabbos. You draw a lot of details. You draw the city limits as if every city is a rectangle. Then you have Alpai Mama outside of the city. But let's say you have private homes and it doesn't add up to a city. It has to be, in order to be considered a city, you have to have Gimel Chatzeris. So sometimes you don't have any Chatzeris at all. Just have Batim, Batim, and Batim, and no Chatzeris. So each person has Alpai Mama, a circle around this home. If you have a city is always a rectangular shape, and then you have Alpai Mama, everybody has the same Chum Shabbos. But if you have a lot of houses, and houses doesn't add up to a city, Alpidin, so each person has Alpai Mama around his house, just a circle, and the radius of the circle is Alpai Mama. So I have two houses. At one house I sleep, on one house I eat. So that's going to be the deal, in which house? Or let's say an apartment. I have two apartments, both an apartment building. Which building do I ask? Where do I have to participate in the Erev? So the sugya has a whole discussion of Rabbi Shmuel and the Mishnah Berurah's Klolim and the Bir Aloche and Ilchos Hadlokas Neir Shabbos is all based on that sugya in the end of Erevin. And when does the person answer? So the Ritva says that the fellow who can drive his car from Alaska, it's all part of North America, it's the same kata, he can drive his car, he has permission, he can drive his car right into the Erev over here. He has Drisus HaRegel, but that Drisus HaRegel does not ask, because his beso, where he eats and where he sleeps, is over there. Drisus HaRegel only asks if you can go from your base Dira to the location where we want to have an Erev without leaving a Rishus HaYachid. But he can't go. He lives in Alaska. He lives in New Jersey. Fine, he can drive through the middle of the Erev. He does not say it because for him to go from his base Dira to the area where we want to make an Erev, he has to leave a Rishus HaYochid, so that Jesus HaRegel doesn't ask. I used to have a friend, he's still my good friend, but he moved to Muncie, so I never see him. So my friend learned Bacharusa with the boy who lived across the street from him. He's married, has children. So they used to learn Bacharusa, so they had, on Shabbos, they had an Asik, because they wanted to carry Svarim. So they made an Erev, they lived across the street from each other. So they made an Erev just from his house to my house. They put it towards a Pesach on the right and on the left, and shine. They carry to each other's house on Shabbos. Everybody else has a right to walk over here. But the other people, it's like the people from Alaska who have the right to drive in. The Drisus HaRegel does not. But then Rabbi Tendler made an Erev on the whole of Muncie. So some people hold from the Erev, some people don't hold from the Erev. So why don't you hold from the Erev? So if the Tzuras HaPesach was made properly, you don't hold from the Erev because you don't like the Schiris Rishus, you don't like the way he rented from the Moshe Ha'ir, so now their Erev is just killed. Rabbi Tendler just killed their Erev, because now all the people of Muncie have Beis Dira, where they eat and they sleep in the house, and they can arrive, they can go, at Drisus HaRegel, they have the right to walk in my friend's Erev. I used to learn Mechavusa with both of these guys. One of them lived in, he was my neighbor in Broyers, and the other one learned, and it was a Rebbe in Yeshiva. So if the Tzuras HaPesach Rabbi Tendler made is good, then he just passed the Erev that they made. If you don't like Rabbi Tendler's Erev because he held the Tzuras HaPesach wasn't made properly, so then again, so the Drisus HaRegel of all the other people doesn't pose a problem, because for them to go from their Beis Dira to the location where we want to make the Erev, they have to leave the Rishus HaYochid. And such a Drisus HaRegel doesn't ask. So you have to calculate in each case what this story is. Yeah, the Gemara says one of the Sheva Mitzvahs ben Anach is Gezel. So by Jews, we have a Mishnah, Chamish Prutas Hain. Mishnah in the end of Perek Hazal, Chamish Prutas. Dr. Belkin used to be the president. He used to have a Lashon. It's not worth, he was a European, so he didn't speak English like an American at all. So he used to say, it's not worth 5 pennies. That was his melitza. It's not worth 5 pennies. Chamish Prutas Hain. So the din is by Nachri, if a Nachri steals Pachas Mishavar Puta, Benach Nerag al Pachas Mishavar Puta. This din of a Shavar Puta, unless a Mishavar Puta, doesn't apply to Goy. So the Gemara says, since by Bnei Noach, Nachri Nerag al Agezel, all the Shevin Mitzvah Bnei Noach, the Gemara has Azarasam Zui Misosam, whenever they violate any of the Shevin Mitzvah, so they deserve the death penalty. So it applies even if he steals Pachas Mishavar Puta. The Gemara says, therefore, if you want to rent from a Nachri, you don't have to pay him a Shavar Puta, you can give him less than a Shavar Puta. Give the Nachri less than a Shavar Puta. Yeah. What if the fellow you want to rent from, you want to make an Erev? So you have 100 tenants in the building, 50 are Jews, 50 are Nachrim. From the 50 are Jews, they're not all Shomer Shabbos. So if the fellow is Mechal Shabbos, Bifarhesia, so the Erev is neither here nor there, as far as he's concerned. He's going to be Mechal Shabbos, whether you have an Erev, you know, he's going to carry anyway. It's insignificant. There's a fellow in my building, he graduated Shiva College, and he floated away, he sleeps with Nachrias now, he's not observant at all, but he's embarrassed to be Mechal Shabbos in my presence. If I'm waiting downstairs, because I don't have a key to get into the building on Friday night, and he's carrying the key, he's not going to walk into the building when I'm there. He'll walk around the block, then he'll come back 10 minutes later, walk around the block again until I get in. So if a person is Mechal Shabbos privately, which I'm sure he is, but he's not Mechal Shabbos in public, then the Erev is relevant for him. So then, if he's Mechal Shabbos Betzina, he can participate in the Erev. The guy's Mechal Shabbos professor, the Erev is irrelevant. He's going to carry Benkoko, he's going to carry. So then you have to rent from him, so you shouldn't ask him. But he's Jewish. He's Jewish, so you have to rent with the Shavar Puta already. You don't have the cooler. That's the shayla, let's say, Schir Lakito. The Chachamim and Mekel, he can rent from the Schir Lakito of the Nachri. With the Mekel, he can rent from the super as representing the Mumrim, also in the building. Doesn't say the Therish in the earlier Poskim, so the later Poskim are Mekel on that. That the Schir Lakito is even good for the Mumrim as well. Let's say, they made an Erev here in the neighborhood. For many years, the people in Broyers were the majority of the Shomer Shabbos, so they didn't want an Erev. So the people of Mount Sinai never made the Erev. Then they realized a couple of years ago that the Broyers are shrinking. It's Peches V'Helach, they keep on disappearing. So the Mount Sinai crowd is much bigger than the Erev, than the Broyers crowd. So they felt it's not right. The minority has no right to be Makiv on the majority. So they got one of the rabbis to make an Erev for them. So the question is, but they had a, you have to have a schiris v'shus, so they rented for the chief of police or for the mayor, whatever it was, but the mayor is representing all of the people there, so the people in Broyers don't want him to represent them. They say they don't want him to represent them. So is that acceptable? So we say schir l'kita is even good, bal korchoi, like the Gemara said, they call the guy Homan. Homan Baristik, the guy who didn't want to rent, so they rented from his wife. He was screaming, bloody murder, I don't want to rent. And he said, we don't care. You can rent Bal Korcha. So to rental, you can do Bal Korcha. But then you have to put a box of matzahs. That's the Erev. In Yiddish, we call the Tzuras HaPesach the Erev. But really, the Erev is the box of matzah. The Tzuras HaPesach is the mechitzas. That's the Tzuras HaPesach. So the box of matzahs, we rented from the Nachrim, and now there are 50 Shomer Shabbos, or let's say 10 are not Shomer Shabbos, or the 40 Shomer Shabbos in the building, they have to put away a box of matzahs that held the shutvas by everybody. So Mi'ikar Adin, the Mishnah has, each one of the 40 family, 39 of the 40, have to put a challah, a matzah, a challah shlema in my apartment. I live in my apartment, I don't have to put challah there. And the other 49 families that want to join in, so they put a challah shlema, not a prusa. And so it's considered as if they all live in my apartment. Okay, so instead of having you have to have all the challahs in one bag, instead of collecting 49 challahs from each one of the Shomer Shabbos that live in the building, so someone goes to the store, buy a box of matzahs, and you give it to someone else, pick it up at Tefach, you kind of shoot to all the Shomer Shabbos who live here. Now I got to move into the next Pesach. Shine. So that's what they did here when they made the Erev. So the people from Broyer said, we don't want the Erev, we don't want to be Zeich in the box of matzahs. So they can paralyze the Erev. They say, we don't want to be kind of anything in the box of matzah. So the whole Erev is not valid. So that's the question. Do you have the right to say that Ruba Kukulai, since everybody has a din of shutvas bal korchoi, whoever lives in the community has a din of shutfim that they're obligated to pay for a shul, to pay for a mikveh, and to pay for whatever. We're considered shutfim at three different levels. We're shutfim on a municipal level because the city takes care of garbage collection, water purification. Then we're shutfim on a state level because the state takes care of the highways and the forests and other things. Then we're shutfim on a national level because the federal government takes care of police and the mail delivery and other things. So we have to pay three levels of taxes. You have to pay municipal taxes, state taxes, and federal taxes. Because the taxation is all based on the premise that we're all shutfim together. And it's a different kind of shutfis. It's one kind of shutfis we enter into, a shutfis midaiteinu, out of our own free will. Then there's another thing, we become shutfim bal karchenu. We all share our needs together. So let's say you have a lot of people live in a neighborhood. The roiv want to have an eruv and the miut don't want. So it says the Shulchan Aruch, the roiv can be koy for the miut to chip in for the eruv. Since the roiv want it, so the miut ha-mechuyif to go along. We all have a din of shutfim. So maybe it's a different kind of shutfis here. So maybe that could well be, that's what everybody assumes. In every Erev, everywhere, there's always some wise guy, Kanoi, who doesn't want to be kind of shutfis on the box of matzahs. Kanoi holds that the Erev is no good. At Burapak and Flatbush, wherever there's an Erev, Munsi, there's always some wise guy who doesn't want to be kind of shutfis. So we are all Mekel, we assume that Ruba Kukula, it's a different kind of shutfis. And since the roiv do want it, so even the miut are kind of bal korchem. So you have to, after you make the tzuras haPesach, you have to make a rubich hatzeres. You have to be seicher b'shus for the nochem. You're not going to go knock on everybody's door. So you rent for the moshel ha'ir. And the Chacham Tzvi holds once you have a democracy, there is no moshel ha'ir. Our moshel is mekel. We're mekel on that. That there still is a din moshel ha'ir because we elected the mayor. And the mayor appoints the chief of police. That's if we were involved in appointing the chief of police. And then we put away the box of matzahs. We kind of shutfis. Shabbos, you have to have lechem shemavachem ol ba'moitzi. So the svardim, we have a couple of svardim in the neighborhood. So when they come to eat by me, they always bring their own challahs because they say that my wife's challahs are mezonos. She puts in cinnamon and eggs and so on. According to them, it's mezonos. So the shabbos, how is the erev good for the svardim? Has to be lechem shemavachem ol ba'moitzi. So that's not a kasha. The Gemara said beferish. If you have pasah bo bekistin, that if you would have been kaver sudan, it would have become amaitzi. So even though you're not kaver sud, you're not eating it at all, just sitting there. So that's the, it is called pas. It's a subcategory, it's called pasah bo bekistin. You can't make an erev with oatmeal cereal. Oatmeal cereal is not pas. It's mezonos and alamichi, but it's not pas. It can never become amaitzi. But if you have cake or cookies or matzahs, that according to the Sephardim, the matzahs are also mezonos, but if you eat a ton of matzahs, then it becomes amotzi, so the matzahs are acceptable. So the Erev is only good, kozman, that the food doesn't get spoiled. So the matzahs last longer. If you're going to have chalas, it's going to get stale. So if you use matzahs, it's better. The din is everybody has to know, let's say in the apartment building we have an Erev, and in the community you have an Erev, everybody has to have access to the box of matzahs, Erev Shabbos, when Shabbos enters. You have to know where the matzahs are, so where everybody knows the matzahs are my apartment. In my building. Where are the matzahs here for the Erev? I don't know. I think Rabbi wraps them. I'm not sure where they are. So everybody has to know where they are in order to have access to it. Let's say if the fellow whose house the box of matzahs is in is away for Shabbos, so if the next door neighbor has my keys, so everybody has access to the matzahs. If I didn't leave the keys by anybody, then the whole Erev is no good because the people don't have access to the matzahs. You always have to, whoever has the matzahs for the Erev has to make sure that all the people in the neighborhood know where it is and they have access to it. I used to have in my building, there used to be a fellow who learned Erevin with me one summer. He was very learned, but he was very absent-minded. He and his wife were both very absent-minded. Their children were all absent-minded. And the story was he had to get divorced because everything was absent-minded. And he and his wife would always forget, every other Shabbos they would forget to buy challahs. She never baked challahs. She had a job, he had a job. They were all, everything was absent-minded. So every other Shabbos, he would knock on my door. We would be in the middle of me and knock on the door. He needs the matzahs for Shabbos, for Lacha Mishnah. He knew the din, that the Erev is only valid if you have access and everybody has the right to use it. That's why they recommend the Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't use the challahs that you plan to eat Friday night for the Erev, because you're not going to give those challahs to someone else. You need that for yourself. So you always have to have something separate. So we have, so now in our building, we have two boxes of matzah. One is in my apartment, one is in someone else's apartment. So usually when I'm away, my next neighbor has the keys. Sometimes we're both away for Shabbos, and now the neighbor has the keys. The neighbor has another box of matzahs. What's a din of tfisas yad? Tfisas yad is a din like this. Let's say I have a three-family... I own a home, three families, and I rented out two of the apartments to other people, Jewish people. So in order to carry, they have to have an Eruv Chatzeres. So some Rishonim assume that there's an umdina, that if the owner of the apartment building is a Shomer Shabbos and he lives there, he doesn't rent it to other Jews in such a fashion that they should asser on him. So it's self-understood as if he owns the whole building for Shabbos purposes. So that's questionable whether that's correct or not. But let's say I have this three-family home, and I retain the right to leave heavy furniture in the other two apartments. I live in one of the three apartments, and I leave heavy furniture in the other two apartments. So that's a Mishnah that I have Tfisas Yad. I still retain use of the other two apartments, so the other people do not aser on me. So Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion years ago, I don't know if it's the same now, years ago in my building, everybody had a refrigerator that belonged to the landlord. The landlord owned the whole building, now it's no longer the case, now it's a co-op. Everybody had to buy their own apartments. But years ago, the landlord, who happened to be a religious Jew, he did live in the building, so the landlord was obligated by contract to supply everybody with a refrigerator. So everybody had a refrigerator. So Moshe was of the opinion that you don't need an Erev in such an apartment building because you have Tfisas Yad. Everybody's a guest of the landlord. So there were those who disagreed with Rav Moshe. Rav Soloveitchik didn't agree. The Dvar Avram has a tshuva. He doesn't agree. Rav Avram was from the Soloveitchik family. So that's why Rabbi Soloveitchik favored his opinion. Even though Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Soloveitchik's mother's name was Feinstein, and she was the first cousin of Moshe Feinstein. But if your name is Soloveitchik, if you're from the Soloveitchik family, that's the better side of the family. Well, better than the Feinstein guy. So Rabbi Soloveitchik taught like the Dvar Avram, that even if, he thought many disagreed with Rabbi Moshe, if the not that the landlord retains the right to use everybody's apartment, he has a right to leave a refrigerator. He doesn't have the right to leave a refrigerator. He's obligated by contract to supply me with the refrigerator. It's my hishtamshus. It's not the landlord's hishtamshus. How can you consider that tfisas yad? So Moshe insisted that he was right, and he said, he used to tell people, if you don't believe me and you want to make an error, don't say a bracha, because I can promise you it'll be a bracha levatola, because he held that you don't need an error. Okay? That was his opinion. So a lot of people don't. That's a shy, let's say you have a hospital. The hospital is all owned by whoever owns the hospital. Everything is fully furnished. Let's say you have a hotel where everything is fully furnished. So that's mamish. That's everybody's an orech there. Nobody asks on anybody in a hotel. Then Tosfos says further, based on the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Tosfos, based on the Gemara, the hotel owner has the right to switch you to another room in the middle of the day, provided the other room is equally nice or better. Some of the boys who go to make up the minyan in Stern College, I think, so they stay in a hotel nearby. So a lot of times they're moved in the middle of Shabbos to a different room. So that's what Tosha says. If the balabas has a right, you rented an apartment, the balabas has a right to move you from one room to the other, then you don't ask them. Then you don't ask them. Okay, these are some of the issues involved in making an error.
So if you have an
Erev
in the community,
then
do you still need an
Erev
in the building, or no?
The Erev in the community has to be based on renting from the Nochem Huasa, the Nochem in the community. So you're renting from the Moshel Ho'ir, the chief of police or the mayor, that he considered that as if he's the Schir Lakito. The Pashto says he's only Schir Lakito for the streets. He's not a Schir Lakito for the inside of the buildings. So the Pashto says you still need an Erev in the building in order to carry in the building.
With a bracha?
I would think with a bracha, but everybody else says that they don't. So I don't understand. How is the mayor of the city, the Moshel Ho'ir, on the inside of the building? He's a Moshel Ho'ir on the streets, but he's not Moshel Ho'ir on the buildings. So I thought you should, but some of the others say you don't, so I don't say a bracha.
He said there are two boxes of matzahs in every building. So
let's say
you have to have a gregorius for each Shabbos family. Up until the maximum you have to have is 18 gregorius. I think we assume that 3 gregorius and a beitzah, so it's 6 beitzah. So probably one box of matzahs, you can probably put in 6 eggs. So probably one box of matzahs is probably enough. But just in case someone's going to need the matzahs, someone's going to be absent-minded, they're going to need the matzahs. So we have 2 boxes of matzahs. I think I have 5 boxes of matzahs, then I made a shutfitz for the going. So in case, because I eat the matzahs all the time. When I have shalosh shutfitz at home, so instead of eating big challahs, I take 2 matzahs. So we chisel a bit, we keep on eating up the matzahs. So we buy more matzahs, make a shutfitz for everybody else on the additional matzahs. Originally, when we made the Arab, we didn't say bracha because everybody had a refrigerator from the landlord. And then we had the box of matzah. So then, when people started to buy their own refrigerator, because the refrigerator the landlord gave was not so gemaldic, so people started to make their own. So then, really, there was no longer a schir lakita. But we had the air was there ready, so we never said a bracha. I don't know why. Maybe now we should start saying a bracha. I don't know. Okay, now there's a perik vav. There is a dina nifrats lemakam ha'asalo. Let's say you have a rishus hayachid, but you have bridges or tunnels going. Let's say, for argument's sake, they made the Manhattan was constructed in such a way that there are mechitzas all around and around. But you can leave, so you're allowed to carry a Manhattan, let's say, for argument's sake. You put away an Erev Chatzer, box of matzah, it's fine, everything is fine. But you can walk out of Manhattan through a tunnel or through a bridge, walk to a location where there's no Erev without crossing a mechitza. So that's called Nifrat L'Mokam Oslo. So you're not even allowed to carry in the middle of Manhattan, because you may forget and carry through the bridge and through the tunnel. So what do you have to do to avoid violation of this Nifrat L'Mokam Oslo? So you have to make a Tzuras HaPesach at every location where there's a bridge or a tunnel. You have to put a Tzuras HaPesach, so you cannot leave the Rishus HaYochid where there's a Et HaTiltel without crossing through a Mechitza. So there's a Mechitza, so you realize, oh, Ad Kan V'lo Yosef, I can only carry up until here and not further. So that's the issue that we spoke about. Where is there a Tzuras HaPesach on the George Washington Bridge and all these bridges? So the fellow was driving me in the car and he was explaining what the area is based on. So he said, you see, the bridge has a Tzuras HaPesach. So I said, why did they construct it like that? So he said, if you wouldn't have the thing, the bar on top, the whole bridge would fall apart. So I said, that's like Lachzuke Tikra. The Tzuras HaPesach has to be something separate from the structure. If it's something to hold the bridge together, so that's not acceptable. So the whole chashash is, if Nifetz L'Makam Asal, we're afraid someone's going to walk out and carry outside of the Erev. What if in Europe they used to have a city, had Erev, a Tzuras HaPesach, 3 sides, and then the 4th side bordered on the river. The Tzuras HaPesach went to the river. What, someone's going to walk in the river is a Carmel. So someone's going to walk into the river with his shoes and socks on and his pants on. So there's one line in the Magen Avraham. He quotes a tshuva from the Maharit, who was Mekel in Constantinople, that you don't need a tikkun on the Ruach. The whole need for the tikkun on the Ruach Revius is that it shouldn't be nifretz l'makom asal. That's questionable. Is that true? We don't really hold like that. We hold that the tikkun on the Ruach Revius is really needed, because without it, it's not called the Rishus HaYochid. But the Maharit obviously thinks, no, it's a Rishus HaYochid with 3 walls. And the tikkun on the Ruach Revius is just that it shouldn't be nifretz l'makom asal. And the whole reason for nifretz l'makom asal, they're afraid someone's going to walk out and carry. But no one, everybody sees. Here it's dry land, and here it's a river. So you're not going to walk into the river with your shoes and socks on. So he was Mekel. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't say yes or no. Mishnah Berurah doesn't say a word. My guess is he probably didn't have a Maharit, so he probably didn't know what in the world that line meant. If you don't look in the Maharit, you don't know what that line in the Magen Avraham means. There are a lot of things in Magen Avraham. If you don't look it up in the original, so you don't know what he's talking about. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say yes or no on this issue. So they have in the biography of Rav Kook, when he was the Rav in Yafo, before he became the chief rabbi, so he made an Erev, a smaller Erev, then he made a larger Erev. And he, in the announcement of the Erev, so he wrote, the larger Erev is relying on the kula of the Maharit, which is questionable, but there's room to be Mekel. And the smaller Erev is more, is L'Chaladeh. So even those who want to be Machmer against the Maharit, smaller Erev is good. They write, when they made the Erev in Warsaw, the Chiddush Arim lived there, and the Goyim wouldn't let him the goyim wouldn't let them put a tzuras ha-pesach by the river, so he was maker like this marid. He said, b'shas ha-tchak, he can be maker like the marid. The question is, in New York, is it shas ha-tchak? They made the Erev 70 years ago. So it's still a shas ha-tchak, you can't touch it up. So when Rabbi J.J. Schechter was the rabbi in the Jewish center for a couple of years, he touched up the Erev a little bit in New York because of this issue. Okay. Every large Erev will include a park that has big patches of flowers growing. So if you have Yosemite Beis HaSayim or a cemetery, so if you have the big area, Beis HaSayim is 50 by 100. That's the Chasam Mishkan is 50 by 100 hours. So if you have exactly Beis HaSayim 50 by 100 and no one lives there at all, that's a Rishus HaYochanan. Have Yosemite Beis HaSayim, it's a Chumra Midrabanan that you're not allowed to carry there. That's why in the kibbutzim, in the religious kibbutzim, so they don't make an Erev on the whole area. Because they plant things there, and they're makbid, nobody should walk on it when the things are growing. So if they're makbid, it's an area of Yosemite Beis HaSayim, and it's called Lo Hukaf Ledira, they're makbid, no one should walk. So that's called the karpith. And it asks that with the whole area, because the whole area is nifetz l'mokam asalo. It can't carry into that area, so it can't carry anywhere. So that's why in the kibbutzim, on the religious kibbutzim, they make many small Eruvim. Each Erev is smaller than Beis HaSayim. So each one is a Rishus HaYochid. So then you can carry from one to the other, to the other, to the other. That's no problem. The Shabbos, when you make an Erev, let's say in Woodmere, they have an Erev. So they have a cemetery there. A lot of Eruvim, you have a cemetery. So cemetery people are backbid. It's not becovedic to walk on top of the dead bodies over there. So if you have pathways in the cemetery and you don't have any one big blotch of land that's 50 by 100 amma, more than 50 by 100, by that is no problem because there is hiluch over there. But sometimes you'll have a cemetery, a big area, where it's Yosem et Beis HaSayim, or you have a big patch in the park, Yosem et Beis HaSayim. So that has a din, and they makbe not to walk on the flowers. So that has a din of a karpiv, so that says the whole thing. So everybody relies on the Dvar Shmuel. Mishnah Berurah quotes Dvar Shmuel, was a rabbi in Venice, 1600, I think. I forgot already when. He was Mekel. If it's in the middle of the city, he was Mekel. The Chazon Ish says that he's wrong. Mishnah Berurah is not happy with the Dvar Shmuel. He says, Tzorchin. The Chazon Ish, what Tzorchin? Wrong. He wasn't a Svardi. He said, Rav Shmuel is wrong. Chazon Ish was a Litva. So he has a right to say he's wrong. So that's an issue. So the best, Chazon Ish said, the best thing is you have to make a Tzuras HaPesach around the cemetery, Tzuras HaPesach around the park. So nothing will be nifat. So Makam HaSalom. So you're carrying in your area, and you're not going to walk into that area, into the carpet, because it's a Tzuras HaPesach around. Okay, so these are the highlights of Hilchos Erev. Now you got to start learning Hilchos Erev. Okay. Good Shabbos, everybody.
Really?
So,
when it comes to a woman that lady must have called that.
Next week, our visitor has a tour. Why you were trying to leave a little earlier, so it's still.